Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. You guys got your Bibles today? Yes? Could you please turn them to Jeremiah 29, and we're going to be starting in verse 1, but we're going to get to the key verse in a second, but we're going to start in some places. Spoiler alert, we're talking about spoiler alerts, just wanted you to know that. The first spoiler alert that we talked about in this message series, Hannah gave a few weeks ago, and the spoiler alert then was God's grace is really amazing, and yes, it is. And it is sufficient for you. The next one is God is the God of hope. And you're going to learn more about that today as well. He is a God of hope, and may he fill you with it. And the next thing is, spoiler, God can take your natural and make it supernatural in Jesus. He can take the mundane and make them awesome. Somebody needed to hear that. He can take the ordinary and make them extraordinary when we allow him to do so. And today, our spoiler alert is awesome as well. Our spoiler alert, the message of today, today's title is God has great plans for us. God has great plans for us. Our verse for the month. You guys remember what the verse of the month is? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. The verse for the month, verse for the series is, but just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Ooh. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Ooh. All those things that God has prepared for those who love him. That's an awesome verse. In the heart there, the heart is in that verse. The Hebrew word for that, or the Greek word, I should say, is kardia. It's a hard word to say, but it means hearts in the mind. So the good thing that God has for us hasn't even entered the mind. It's so great. All the things he has prepared for us. That was the message verse for this message, or for this message series. But for today, our key verse is, do you guys know it already? Have I dropped enough hints for you guys to hear it? In Jeremiah 29, there's a certain verse that everybody quotes a lot, and it's verse 11. And it's going to be powerful today, as it always is, because God's word is powerful. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity. To give you a future and a hope. For I know the plans I have for you. I know them. It's not a mystery to me. God knows the plans he has for you. He knows them intimately. He knows them. Declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Who? How many know that we need that in these times, these days? A future and a hope. A welfare and not calamity. Especially after all the things that's going on in the world today. Wars there, things going on there, what happened in Washington just last night. Things happening all over the world. But good news is, God has a spoiler alert for when we're going through it, just like these guys went through it. But spoiler alerts. I know Hannah took like a thing a couple weeks ago where she like made everybody raise their hand if they like reading the end of the book before they start the book or watching the end of the movie before they watch the movie. I don't understand that. I don't want to know that until I get to the end of the book. Normally, we don't want to know what's going to happen. We don't want a spoiler alert. We get mad when the spoiler alerts come. So every time somebody's going to do a spoiler alert, they give you much advance warning. They're saying, at this time frame, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Spoiler alert. So turn it off if you don't want to hear it. We don't want to know what's coming. We don't want to have it ruined, the surprise. In movies, games, books, the worst is the games. Like if you're like planning to watch like the game and it's already happened, but you've recorded it and you want to watch it and you want to get excited, then all of a sudden he's like, oh man, yeah, the Bills won. Like, oh man, I was waiting for the game. I couldn't watch it. So I'm like, but you've ruined it for me. But they won, right? Yeah. Books. The one that's hardest not to get the spoiler alert are Hallmark movies. Hallmark movies are the worst with the spoilers because you know what's going to happen even before it starts. It's like she and he are going to be together at the end. But there's always the same trope. It's the girl who goes to the big city, makes something big of herself. Something's happening in her little hometown that some corporate guy is coming in that she knew back in the day, and now he's going to take the town over and she's there to save it. I know what's going to happen. Spoiler alert. Or the one that I don't like the most is the friends to lovers trope. Friends to lovers tropes. You know the spoiler alert. Ask Nat. I have a thing for that. She loves them. Spoiler alert tropes from The Thing. So most of the time, we don't want a spoiler alert. For most of our lives, we don't want to know what's going to happen. We want to have the surprise so we can experience it and be like, yes, this is awesome. But sometimes, there are areas in our lives where we long for a spoiler alert. We want to know. We want to know now if they will ever come back to the Lord. We want to know now if the pain will ever stop. We want to know now that our spouses will stop hurting us. We want to know now. We want the spoiler alert. We want to know. We want to know if there's a good outcome. But sometimes we don't want to know if we know it's going to be bad. Though, however the outcome is, whatever situation is facing you today, in the end, in the absolute end, when it all comes down to it, when you have Jesus and Jesus has you, the outcome is always good. In the end, it will be good when you have Jesus. Do you have him? Ooh. Why we need a spoiler alert. When we're going through it and everything seems to be coming against us, we need a spoiler alert. We need to know now. We need to have a hope that everything is going to work out for my good. God, I don't know why I'm going through this right now, but I need to know. I need to know the spoiler alert that you are here with me. I need to know the spoiler alert that you are here and you're changing things, Father God. I need to know now. I need the spoiler alert. I need to find out. When you're going through it, we need a hope for a future, that there will be more to our story than what is happening right here and now. Because I tell you right now, there is more to your story than what you see right this moment. Amen. So let's get into God's word and let's look at some people who needed a great spoiler alert. They needed a great one because they were about to face some strong, hard times. It sounds different here today. I'm louder. It's because my voice is so cool. Change the speakers. I will blame it on the speakers, but I thought it was my voice. No, it's the speakers. So we're starting in Jeremiah 29, verse 1, and we're going to go through 11, maybe even further than that. Are you guys there? Are you guys ready? We're about to find out why these people needed a great spoiler alert. Now, these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet, who? The prophet Jeremiah. Who? Yes, he's going to be powerful. Sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, to the priests and the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after the king Jehoiakim and the queen mother and the court officials, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by hand by Elisha. Whew, these words, these names, tough. The son of Shephan and Jeremiah, the son of Helakah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon, to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." Ooh. These guys are in exile. These guys are not in the place where they were born, and they are not in the place where they were born, not by their choice. They were forced to go into another place. God, I don't want to be here right now. I don't want to do this thing. I don't want to go there. But even more extreme than that, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to the exiles whom I have sent in exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare. Pray for its welfare, for you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you. Don't let them tell you any different from what you're hearing from me now. Do not listen to the dreams which they have dreamed, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name, and I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place, to bring you back home after a time. And could you imagine that? You are going to a place that you do not want to go, to an area that is so different from who you are. They don't even speak the same language. They don't have the same culture that you do. And God is saying you're not just going to go there for a few days and come back home. He's saying you're going there for so long that I want you to build a house there. You're going to be there for so long that I want you to find a wife there. You're going to be gone for so long that you're going to have kids there. And when they grow up, I want you to find them husbands and wives for them so they can have children as well. That's how long they're going to be gone. So long are you going to be gone that I want you to pray for its welfare. Pray for them in this new community that you're about to be a part of for a very long time. Now, when you hear that, and they hear that, your heart must have been ripped out. If you were hear that, you're like, this is going to be a long time in a place where I do not want to be. Could you imagine how down your mind would be, how down you would be if you were in this situation? But God knew it. So after he said all this, this great promise, this great spoiler alert, he plops in there. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for a welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you have searched for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back in the place from where I sent you into exile." Wow, what an awesome spoiler alert. You are in exile, but God is right there to give you a future and a hope in that moment. This must have been the darkest time because they haven't even, you know, it's like now they're in this place. Man, I don't want to do what I'm doing right now. I've got better plans for you. I've got better plans for you. They were moved by force to a place that was not their culture, not their language. They were going to be second or third class citizens. Their families were torn apart. We can see this in Daniel. He was taken from his family to do things they did not want to do, to live in a place they did not want to live. They thought their story was going to end in exile until the great spoiler alert, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." It's an awesome and great spoiler alert. Like them, we too may be facing a time of exile, a time of trial, a time of a place where we do not want to go, or a circumstance that we do not want to go through. But I promise you, there's a great spoiler alert in that moment. He has a plan for you, a plan for your future, a plan for hope. And it's just waiting for you to ask for it right now. If you're going through it, ask him. The great thing about this verse is many things, but one of the ones, "For I know." For I know. For I know. Do you trust him with what he knows about you and what he has for your future? God says, "For I know the plans I have for you." These are great things he's going to do through us in these areas. "For I know the plans for you." His plans are not hidden to him. It's not a surprise. He knows them perfectly. He knows the ins and the outs. He knows how it's all going to work out. He knows what's going to happen and where it will take you and where it's going to end. "For I know the plans I have for you." These plans are in the future. These plans were in the future for them. Could you imagine hearing these things and saying, "Wait, we've got to wait for a while. We've got to wait for a while for this to come to pass. We have to wait for a while in our place of exile, in our place of pain. I have to wait." He says, "I know the plans I have for you, but these are future plans he's going to do through you." Sometimes it happens right away, but most of the time when we're in our exile or when we're in our circumstance of pain, we have to wait in it before those plans work themselves out. And I know that speaks powerful to me today because there are things that I'm going through that I don't want to necessarily go through them. But I know that if I wait in them, God has a perfect plan for me to walk in. Do you guys know that he has a perfect plan for you to walk in as well? As long as you wait for him to do what he's got to do. Because sometimes these exile times is doing something through you that you don't even see yet until the perfect time happens. And then when that comes and you walk into it, he will do great and mighty things in those moments. Amen. This time I call waiting with a purpose. Waiting with a purpose. When we wait on the Lord, we don't sit on the sidewalk or sit on a chair and just wait for something to happen like we're at the doctor's office or something. Though for me, that's an exile time. I don't like doctor's offices. And I trust you, I won't be sitting down in no chair. I'll be pacing that floor. Not good, because I don't really like to see the doctor at all. Not so much that I even broke my ankle in one go for a whole day before I went to see the doctor, because they're scary.
They're not.
They're scary places.
Fear not, says the Lord.
I went the next day under the fear of my wife. Smart man. He says, waiting with a purpose, because we see in verses 5-7, he said, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat the produce, take wives and become fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and your daughters, and your husbands, do all those things, do those things, and bear sons and daughters, and multiply there, and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of that city. I think that speaks to us now. There are situations that we are in, circumstances that we are in that we don't want to be, but maybe God has you there so you can bless them for their welfare. Maybe God has you at the job that he has for you, so you to bless them, to pray for their welfare. Are you praying for your Babylon? Are you praying for your Babylon? God, sorry that we're not praying for our Babylon. God, whew. We wait with a purpose. The Jews were to do life where they were at. They were not just sitting around. They had something to look forward to. God, they knew God had plans for them, but he also said that you were supposed to do something in your time of exile. You were to make families. You were to have jobs. You were to build houses. And even more important, you were to build a culture of godliness in a godless or heathen nation. Are you building a culture of godliness in the Babylon that you might be walking through right now? Do you bless the area that you now live in? For a long time, Ithaca was a very hard place for me to pray for because I didn't like it. Just the truth. I didn't like Ithaca. But now I've come to love it, and I pray for it. And I see a beauty here that I never saw before in my life. Maybe that's where he wants you to be so you can see the beauty of the Babylon that you're in, so you can pray for it. Not so you can be there forever. That's not what I'm saying. But he has us where we're at for a purpose and a plan, because he's got a future plan for you to walk in. There's an awesome verse about waiting that I'm going to tell you about right now. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. That strength there means ability. He will renew their ability. Are you waiting with a purpose in the circumstance that you are now? Knowing that God has a perfect plan for you, for your welfare and your good, for a future and a hope. Like them, we wait on the Lord for something to change or some degree of deliverance. But we must wait with purpose. We must not just sit on the sidelines. You guys are to not sit on the sidelines. We're not second string Christians. We are first stringers. We are starters. Are you a starter in your life? We're not backbenchers. We're not riding the pine. We're on the court. We're on the field. And we're waiting with purpose. And this very thing can be the hardest thing to do because sometimes the pain is real. Because sometimes our Babylon is the cancer ward. Sometimes our Babylon is divorce. Sometimes our Babylon is separation. Sometimes our Babylon is waiting on a child who has gone astray. The pain is real, and he knows it. The pain is real, and he cares. But just don't sit there and let the world happen to you. We are to bring God to the nation. We are to bring God to the culture that we're in and the circumstance. Now is the time to listen and believe the spoiler alert that God has for you. Because he's the one that declares, it says, declares the Lord his great plans for us. He declares, and that word is Nahum. It means oracle. He is the one declaring it over you. Not somebody else, not some other nameless person. It is the Lord who is declaring these things over you today. Amen. God is speaking it over us. He is the one making the promise. And note the cool thing about promises. The ones that God makes, it says in 2 Corinthians verse 1 through 20, it says, all the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. So the promises that God makes, it is yes and amen because he's the one making the promise. He's the one doing it. He's the one doing it. And what are these plans? What are these things that God's going to do? He says, my plans are this. My plans are for welfare. And that word welfare there means shalom. It means his perfect peace. It means a peace that you can obtain through God that happens to you no matter what the circumstances are in your life. It doesn't mean the absence of conflict. It doesn't mean the absence of actions and things happening. It means while you're in the storm, he may calm the storm. Or he may be right with you in it. And he gives you a peace to get through it. The welfare there is shalom. Favor, friend, great, good health, and perfect. That's welfare. And not calamity. What you're going through is not the end. It's not calamity, it's not adversity, it's not affliction, it's not bad, it's not displeasure or distress. That's not what he has for you. Jeremiah, when he became a prophet when he was young, God said, I knew you. Oh, I'm going to get it directly. I'm going to quote it right there. Before I formed you in your womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you and appointed you a prophet to the nations. Before you were born, before you were formed in the womb, he knew you intimately. He knew you, and he knows what he's doing. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? For a future and a hope, God has created us to do good things, to do good things, as emphasized in Ephesians 2:10. It's to spread the gospel, to live fruitful lives. I know I'm going a little long-handed. I'm going faster. But what stops us? What stops us from hearing the good news, the spoiler alerts that God has for us? One of the things that happens, I knew in my life, I needed a spoiler alert at times, and you know, it's like obvious. The spoiler needs to come when things are not going so well. I was like, I need a spoiler alert. I need some good news. But sometimes we need the good news. We need the spoiler alert when everything is just kind of blum. Nothing really bad's happening. Nothing really good. It's just kind of mundane. Just kind of like normal. There was a time in my life where I really wanted to be used by God. I was here at the church all the time. I just wanted to be used by him. I wanted to speak. I wanted to do all the things. And I thought I was doing all the things that God wanted me to do. And one day, me and Pastor Tom had gone out to lunch, and we came back here, and we were sitting in the parking lot just talking about stuff. And all of a sudden, over by the shed over there, there was this bird that flew up just a couple of feet above the shed. And I don't know how it did it, but it just stayed still. It was just flying, and it just flapped right there. It was like hovering, but it didn't go up or down or left or right or anything. And I was just like, that's the way I feel. It's not going anywhere. It's not bad. It's not good, though. We need a hope when we're in those times. You may be in that time right now where things aren't going bad, but they're not going great either. And you need that hope that there's something great going to happen because you want it and you want good things. God's got a future and a hope for you. Other things that stop us when the spoiler alert is, where are we getting the spoiler alert from? Where are we getting the spoiler alert from? God wants you to get it from Him, His Word, and other godly people in your life. But sometimes we try to get the spoiler alert from people who don't know God, or maybe know Him a little bit. And they say things like, well, of course you're going through that. That's the way your family is. Your family's been poor. It'll always be poor. It's always going to be poor because that's the way you guys are. Spoiler alert, you're going to be poor forever. Spoiler alert, you're not going to go anywhere. You're always going to be here because that's where you came from and that's the only thing you're ever going to do. I've listened to those spoiler alerts. You're never going to get out of Lansing. You're never going to leave. You're always going to be poor. You're never going to have any money. You're always just going to be some nothing. You're always going to be a nobody, and nobody's going to listen to you because you are from that family. Where are you getting your spoiler alert from? Who are you listening to? And sometimes the worst spoiler alert comes from you. That's the hardest spoiler alerts to get over. Because I've said it too, because when I'm going through something, I jump to the conclusion right then and there. This is going to be the end. This is not going to be good. This is going to be terrible because I know how it ends. It's like those movies that we know, the movies from Hallmark that we all know the end to. I don't need to know the spoiler alert because I know how it's going to end. But now I need a spoiler alert, and because I'm freaking out, I'm going to give myself the spoiler alert, and I'm going to tell myself a story of how it's going to end, even though it's not going to even end that way in any way whatsoever, but I've convinced myself because I know myself. And the fears that you have will speak loud in those situations. You're never getting out of here. You're going to be sick because you know how it works out. Are you telling yourself the spoiler alert that you need to hear? Or are you going to Him? Go to Him. Make Him tell you the spoiler alert. Ask Him to tell you the spoiler alert. And as we draw to a conclusion here, because we got to get going. Spoiler alert, we've got work to do today. We are working and waiting on a purpose this afternoon. But I want you to know, as you guys all rise, rise up. I want you to know that today, God is writing. He knows exactly what He's going to be doing in your life. He knows exactly where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through. It is not a surprise to Him. It is not a surprise to Him where you are at. It is not a surprise to them in your time of exile, your time where you're in a place where you don't want to be. But I promise you, He has a great plan for you. And He knows this about you. For He is the one that declares it. Your story doesn't end in calamity. Your story ends with a future and a hope. Who are you writing? Who's writing your story? You may be saying, I don't know who's writing my story, Pastor Caleb. I don't know who's writing my story. Who is this Jesus that you talk about? Who is this God that you've been speaking of? Maybe you're unsure because you don't know Him. You don't know Him. But I'm telling you today, right now, you can know Him. You can know Him intimately because He knows you. If you call upon the name of the Lord, it promises you will be saved. If you call upon His name, I promise you, you will be saved. And then you can know Him. And then you can know the author and the perfecter of your faith. He will know you intimately. And I just want to bless you all with this. God has a plan for your life. Everything that God has spoken, the promise he made to you in his word, the dreams that he has declared over you, he has already provided everything you will go through. He's providing for you in every area, in every adversity, in every sickness that you may be finding right now. No one can cancel or take away anything that God has declared over your life. Some of you today need to know that you're the head and not the tail. That he's with you through it all. And that you're not what somebody declared over you. You're not your parents. You're not your family. You're who he says you are. Jesus will never forsake you. His Holy Spirit can be in you if you call upon his name. God is a step ahead of you. He goes before you. God, thank you for today. Thank you, God, that you got a perfect plan for us and that you have declared it. And what you have declared, you will do, Father God. And that the good work you started in us, we are confident that you're going to complete it, Father God. And we stand here today grateful for it. Bless those around us, God. Let us be the most positive encouragers and blessers in our places of Babylon, Father God. That when in the perfect time, we can come out of it and walk into the purposes that you've called us to. Bless us all today, Father God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.